Tonight, and I probably should have already given you the reading lesson. Sometimes I fail to do that. I get forgetful. I get to trying to think about other things that I'm going to say before I get started, and I forget some other things. But I want you to know. I want you to know something tonight. I want you to know I'm not up here for me. I'm up here for my Lord. Amen. I'm here on business for the Lord. My God, I'm here to serve Him. I'm here to worship the Lord. And I hope and pray that's what you come for. I'm not up here to be seen. And I'm not up here for any of that upon my own self. Because I know according to the Scriptures that we ourselves, just like I believe it was the Apostle Paul, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. And that's what I believe that we need to be. We need to be letting down ourselves that he might be lifted up. That's what we're supposed to do. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to be reading a few verses of Scripture. I don't know how many that I'll read. But these are some that I've been turning back and forth through the Scriptures trying to get ready for this. But I finally settled on 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. There's some thoughts in here that we want to look at tonight concerning what God's got in store for us as His children. And before I get to reading this, I want to make this statement. What I'm about to try to preach tonight, as God has laid it upon my heart, I've done made the statement, is for His children and His children alone. You know, I think sometimes that we, as God's ministers, we need to stand. I don't know who I'm standing before tonight, but I do know this much. If you know the Lord, you know it. And if you don't know the Lord, you know that too. Amen. But the thing about it is, what God is wanting you to do is to know Him and to learn of Him and to be close to Him and to learn of His of what He has in store for you and the promises that He has for you and all the love that He has towards you and all the things that He has that is a great greatness and goodness, and all these things come from the Lord, but they're only for those that are saved, those that have sought the Lord, those that had a broken and a contrite spirit, those that come to God one time when it was just them and the Lord, and that broken and a contrite spirit is what God looks at, and that's what God is expecting from everyone, and so that's the ones that He's talking about. Those that have come and those have surrendered by repentance and believed in His Son to the saving of their soul. In other words, they have a testimony of a place, a time and a place when the Lord has saved their soul. An experience with the Lord. And so those are the ones that we want to tell you that this is what God is saying to you. But those that don't have that, this is not for you. And you know, sometimes I wonder sometimes as we go through our life and as we go and preach places, sometimes people says, well, you shouldn't say that to those that are not saved. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather let them know that if that's where they stand in the sight of the Lord, I'd rather let them know it now than to come down through the end of their life just thinking they're all right and die and go into a devil's hell. And spend eternity there without the Lord, without their friends and their loved ones that did surrender to them and have surrendered themselves unto God to be saved, and are God's children. So I want to start out reading. I want to read all of this, starting out in the beginning, because this is me, people. I'm just a plain preacher. I'm not somebody that's got great swelling words. You're gonna see pretty soon that I'm not like that. Like Paul was here. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, In other words, I don't have no big words. I don't believe in that. I believe in preaching plain to people that they might, and I believe that's what God wants, that we might be able to preach to those that people might be able to understand. I know that we, as God's ministers, can't do that, but it takes the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and place it in their heart where they can understand it. And so it's not me. It's not me that makes you understand it, but I believe God wants us to preach it plain. And I believe that's what Jesus Christ did when He walked upon the face of this earth. I believe that He took the people and He took them aside and He explained things to them to where they could understand what He was trying to teach them. And He took the worldly things. Why? Because the people understood the worldly things that they might be able to see the spiritual side of it. And I'm so glad that there's been many times myself that I've been able to sit back and God's revealed things to me that I've been able to see because I'm just a plain, simple man. But it says here, with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. That means accept Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's the way I am here tonight, y'all. I'm here before you tonight in fear and trembling. Why? Because I stand before, not only before you, but I stand before my God tonight. Trying to preach His Word and depending upon Him to say the things that He wants done here tonight and not what I want. And that's what I believe that we all need to be as God's ministers and as God's people, that when we stand even to testify and witness of the things that God's done for us, we need to depend upon the Lord when we stand, and we need to be that witness that we should be, that people might see that there's something different about you. There's something different about you, and we need to let that be known. Whew. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. I prayed that. I prayed that God would open up me tonight with a demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach unto you His Word tonight. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and I want you to listen to this verse. This is one of the verses I want to use tonight for a text. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth of the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. I'm going to stop right there. I want us to understand tonight that what we're about to try to preach to you, it's not according to man's wisdom that these things are revealed unto you. But God has revealed unto us, according to His Holy Spirit, the things that we need to know. God has given the first thing that I thought I might go. The first thing that God has given unto us or has promised unto us is eternal life. life. God has not only given unto us eternal life, but He's given us of His Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us, and to be with us in the time of hour, in the night, and the day, and whenever you are troubled, that you might be comforted of God and wherever you might be.
Amen.
So He's given us of His Spirit to help us to be able to do that. But I want you to also understand that God has given us eternal life. All of those that we talked about a while ago, we preached to you about a while ago, those that have come to God and freely have taken of the water of life freely and have sprung up into them into everlasting life. God is saying by that He has promised you eternal life, that you shall never die. And in other words, you will always live. You will never die. That doesn't mean that this body is not going to go back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. It will, according to God. This body that we're looking at, it's not yet been made whole. It's not yet been saved. It has not yet been made perfect. And what God is saying, He is promising you, and I was hoping later on I might get into that, and we might a little bit later on in this, if God be willing for me to see a little bit more what God has got in store for His children. I want you to look at this tonight. When we think about, most of the time, when we think about that ninth verse, we think about the things that God has got in store for us when we leave this walk of life and we're going to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, surely, truly, none of you can imagine what God has got in store for you there. But I want you to know that there's more to salvation than what you're waiting for you one day after a while in heaven, in glory. God is saying, while you're walking upon this earth, while you're My children here, I've got many promises for you here. Many things for you here. Many blessings for you here. That as you as My children, that I will bless you while you walk here upon this earth. God did not intend for His children to go through this life and be, in other words, downtrodden all their life. God wants you to know, I will lift you up, He said. And God is saying to you that you need to be able to rejoice. He has said many times in His Word, rejoice, My children, rejoice. Be glad in it. And when we're able to go into the house of the Lord, be glad in it.
Amen.
And rejoice when you go in. You know, when I told you earlier about the having all of these places that we can go. You know, a lot of people today, they're taking for granted the very thing that God has blessed you with.
Amen.
And many people are today. They're taking for granted the fact that they have the opportunity to come to worship of the Lord, and they will not do it. Many of them are sat down on the Lord today, and they're saved. They're going to heaven, no doubt about that, but they're sitting down on the Lord.
Amen.
They're sitting down on the Lord. But God is saying, you're still My children. I've given you the promise of eternal life. Unto all of My sheep hear My voice, and I'm going to tell you, God said they will follow Me. Jesus said they will follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. No man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. For I and My Father are one, He says. I and My Father are one. Nothing is able to pluck you out of God's hand and take the love of God out of your heart. He's placed it in there, and it's eternal. It's there. I've often thought about, you know, when God gives us all these abilities to be able to do things, and just like it was, and I believe it was those 12 apostles when Jesus sent them out. And you think about this, those 12 apostles, He sent them out, and He said, there's many, many wonderful works you can do in My name, and cast out devils, and heal people. All of those things back in that time, which is not done now, but it was back in that time, and He said, they came back and they were bragging to the Lord about it. And He said, rejoice not in that you're able to do these things, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
That's why we need to be rejoicing.
Amen.
God is saying you can rejoice. We need to be. You know, God's people needs to be stirred up today. We need to get out of our slumber and sleep. And we need to think about what God's done for us. We need to start taking inventory of what God's done for us. And that we might see what God has done. And that we might be able to be made to rejoice. And that we might be able to rejoice together, even though the times are hard. And his troubles on every hand. And people will sit up and they'll take notice of that. Those that are lost and separated from God and don't know God, they'll see that. They'll look. They'll see a lot more than you realize. Yes, they are. They're looking at you, every move you make. It doesn't make any difference. And they're looking at me too. They're not just looking at you. They're looking at all of us. A lot of times people say, well, you preachers, y'all got a whole lot more hanging over you because you are. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we feel like we are. But I'm going to tell you what, people are looking at everybody today that claims to be anything at all in the sight of the Lord. They're looking at them and they're just waiting for you to mess up. Amen. Waiting for you to mess up. God is saying, here, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm going to say to you tonight that there's nobody ever has, ever will, or is now be able to love the Lord unless they have surrendered unto God and been saved and become one of His children and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and they know for a surety in their heart they're one of God's children. They can't love the Lord unless they have that. Why? Because God has already promised even of His love. And you want me to show you proof of it? Let me show you proof. In 1 John, God has given me this not too long ago, and I want us to look at it. 1 John, it will tell us about how He's given us of His love. But while I'm turning over there, in 1 John, it says God is love. And I want you to, so where does love come from? I'm talking about this perfect love. Perfect love casteth out fear. That fear is not fear of things in this life, but it's that fear of dying, going to a devil's hell. That perfect love casteth out that fear. What God is saying to you, that He's saying you don't have to worry about dying and going to that place no more. Once He saved your soul, He's promised you that. You know, God is full of promises. You know, there's a psalmist letter in 116 Psalm, all of those benefits. And I'm telling you what, when God saves your soul, it comes with a benefit package, my friend. It's a benefit. Yes, it is. It's in there. You read it, 116 Psalm. There's a benefit package in there. I'm going to tell you what, it's full when you get to looking at it. Sometimes sit down and think about what God's done for you. I'm going to tell you what you'll do before it's over with. You'll forget you've ever had a trouble, ever had a problem. When you start sitting down and doing those things that God, and going over those things that God's done for you. I didn't go over here and read the scripture to you yet, have I? It says here, and let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Beloved, it's in the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another. God is saying for us as His children that we need to love one another. And we need to show forth that love. That love that we show forth to one another. The world out here is going to see that you are His disciples. That's why He says to love one another. That's the commandment He's given unto us as His children. That we might have love one for another. But it says, let us love one another. For love is of God. I want you to know that this love is not love like a love for that I have for my companion. It's not a love like I had for my parents. It's not a love like I have for my children, my grandchildren, or any other. But that love has got to be a perfect love, a love that when it's a sacrificial love. And that love is, and you might say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying that God's love is full of a package that you might go out here and benefit and say, if it's necessary, I give my my life for you. You say, well, how are you going to do that? The only way you can, the Holy Spirit help you. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Why? Look at this right here. I'm going to tell you right now, this right here is going to hinder a lot of God's people today. It still is, has been, and it still will till God calls us home. But let me tell you something. God's promise is something else. You're not going to take this with you. I told you a while ago, the Bible teaches us it's going back to the dust of the ground. It's not going to be able to go to heaven. It can't go to heaven in the state it is. It's not perfect. It's like somebody said one time, you know what you're looking at right here? You're looking at a pile of dirt. That's exactly what you're looking at. A pile of dirt right here, people. But it's in the flesh. And God has made us this way. And God is saying, that's all we are. And it's going back to the dust of the earth. It just houses this soul that God has given us. God has promised us one day a new body. I was going to get to there. I don't even know what I got to, what I was looking at here a while ago. It's coming to me so fast. But I want you to look, if you'll look in the fourth chapter of 1 John, you can find here where God has given us not only His love, but us in His Spirit. Hereby know that we dwell in Him and He in us, in the 13th verse of that chapter, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And you know what the Bible says about the Spirit? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you think about that liberty, God is saying you're free. Amen. You're children that are free. What are you free from? You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from death and hell. And I'm going to tell you that God, you might not be free from the grave, but you're free from death and hell. Amen. And God is saying to us that we have that promise from Him. I've got to get over here and get this other scripture. He keeps giving it to me. And I've got to turn over here and get to it if I can find it right hurriedly. That He gave me also as I was studying this. This is one of the first places I went to when I began to look at this lesson tonight. And then he just gradually moved me around to these other places. But you know, this is from the Word of God that I'm preaching to you tonight. It's the truth. But I want you to listen. God is not only saying to us as His children, He said, I've promised you all these things, and I've probably only covered partially of all of them, a part of it. But He has promised us many things in this life. One of the things He's promised us, He said, I'll go with you always, even unto the end. God is saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. How? When He places His Spirit in you, He's with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, you take a part of God with you when you're saved. It's part of Him in you. So He will never leave you nor forsake you. I know there's a lot of times, I'll try to get to this here in a minute. I know there's a lot of times we probably get down and out. And I'm sure we do. I do. I get down and out and I get so low. I think I told them today somewhere, I don't remember where it was at. I said, sometimes I look up and I see the bottom. Have you ever got that low? When you're looking up and you're seeing the bottom, then you're low. You're about as low as you can go. And you're needing some help. Told them, I said, then you begin to reach up. Think about this. Then you begin to reach up. God's already reaching down to you. You think about it. And you know what He'll do? He'll pull you up. He'll pull you up. And He'll cause you to be able to rejoice. Even though the water of life in your life, and it looks so rough. You can see the waves coming in. And you can see them, and it looks like it's about to devour you. It looks like it's about to take you and your family out. It looks like it's about to take you and the church out. But you know what? He's still there. Amen. He's still there. Amen. And he'll lift you up. And he'll lift you up out of there. And you'll be able to catch your breath and breathe once again. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For one more time, I can feel your presence with me. And know you're there. Even though it's so rough. But you know, he's given us some more promises. I don't know whether I've covered enough through this life, but you know one thing about it. God is with us all the way through this life. And he'll help you. He'll help you with your finances. He'll help you with your marriage. He'll help you with your church duties. He'll help you with your preaching. He'll help you. He'll help the deacons with the duties they have. He'll help the women with their daughters and with their families. He'll help them to take care of their men as they need to be helped as helpmates. God is always to help us. God is always there to help us through. Now listen to this. In the fifth chapter, I'm going to try to be done here in a few minutes. But I got to get this out tonight before I leave. I don't know whether I get to see you again. I don't know. We don't ever know when God is going to be through with us. Or something may happen. We don't ever know. But this is on my heart and I got to get it off. In the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, this is where I first started turning to when I was reading and studying, preparing for coming here. For we know, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this house of tabernacle here, were dissolved, that means going back to the dust of the ground, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Do you ever get like that? Do you ever get to the point to where you want to go on home? Does it ever come to you and you think about, and then you get to thinking about all the people that are left behind here, that your loved ones, all the people that are still lost that you know, and you think about God, have mercy just a little while longer. You know, I get to thinking sometimes I feel so selfish. I get to thinking about my own problems. And God, just take me on home. But you know, I think Paul made a statement one time. He said, for your sakes, it's far better for me to stay. But for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, for me it's far better to me to go on, to be with the Lord, than to stay here in this place of trouble and sorrow and pain and suffering. But you know, we're going to lay all that down one day after a while. Amen. For the Scripture says, I believe it's in Romans, if the Spirit dwell in you that was in Christ, and I may not quote this perfectly, if the Spirit that's in Christ dwell in you, that He has placed in you, He said one day that's raised Him from the dead, He said He's going to quicken our mortal bodies. I need to try to turn over there. And I just messed that one up so bad. And it's in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the 11th verse. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. God is saying we're going to have a new body one day after a while. That body, we're going to be able to stand before God. That body will be able to go to glory. But this one won't. We got to leave this behind. But you know, all the things we're going to leave behind is all of this that we have to go through, this suffering down here, the getting older and the pain and sometimes the hurtful things that people say to you. Sometimes the things that you're persecuted for because you've stood for the Lord. You're going to lay all that down one day after a while, God is saying. You're not going to take that to glory with you. It's going to be left behind here. I thought about one time, you know, this Bible I've been trying to preach out for a great number of years. I hate to lay it down to even start in a new one. It's done getting so wore. It's my friend. I know places where they're at. And but one of these days,
I'm not going to have to take that with me when I go to glory. I'm going to leave it behind. But it's been a great friend to me, and it still is. I'm going to try as best I can to hold on to it as long as I can. I know that the Word of God is the Word of God, even in another Bible. But this one here has been one that I've looked through so many times. And God has pointed me there and here and there, and I know where they're at. Sometimes I can't quote the scripture that I want to, but I know where it's at on what page. And I'll look, and there it is. On what part, down here, up there. And you know, other Bibles, it's not that way. But you know, it goes on to say here, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." And it says, "Therefore we are always confident. We are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, but to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." My eyes are getting where I can't hardly see. They're so full of tears. But you know, this is the promise that God has promised to us. One more scripture, and I'm going to try to close. In John 14, I've got to use this one, because this one goes along with that, people. Really and truly, it does. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions." He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He loves you. But he's telling you, there's many, many mansions waiting for us there. Not like we have here. I don't know what they're going to be like. But I just know that he's promised us those things. But he said, "I go to prepare." Listen to this. You want to know how much God loves you even after you leave this world? I'm gone to prepare a place for you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's preparing a place for us. Whatever it's going to be like, I know it's going to be good. And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He's promised us that he will come back. He's coming back to get us, people. He's not going to leave us here forever. God has also promised us that he's going to come back to get us, to gather us up, to take us home. You know, this is not our final home that we're living here. We're only pilgrims passing through. This is not your final resting place. It goes beyond the third heaven, or it's up in. I believe it. If you've ever read and studied about the Bible, it talks about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. I guess it's the third heaven is where God is at. It's up there where God is, but it's beyond all of this down here that we're going through. And so it said that the first heaven, I believe it speaks about, is where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the clouds are. And then the third heaven is where God is. But it says here, he said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he has promised us that he's going to take us home. He's coming to get us, and he's going to take us home one day after a while. We have that promise from God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know tonight that those of you that may be troubled in your heart, he said, be comforted, because God is saying, all of these promises I have promised to everyone that I save. You are my children. I thought about, there is no richer person than one of God's children. And you might say, well, some of the poorest people that I've seen that are claimed to be saved, that may be true, but you just can't see their riches. It's not all in just monetary. It's not all in just the things that they have in possessions, but it's more than that. What God has done for us as His children, that is riches. Those of you that have children,
and they're healthy, you're rich. Those of you that have children and they're saved, you're even richer. Those of you that have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and they're healthy and they are saved, you are rich. And those of you that are healthy, you are rich. But you're still rich, not because of all of those things, but because of what God done for you inside your heart. And that's the greatest riches of all. Hey, God bless you is my prayer. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I don't know what all I've said before I got started, but I do want you to know that. Thank you for every one of you that come tonight. I didn't shake all of your hands, but thank you for being here. I thank the good Lord for His presence most of all. I'll turn it back over to Brother Taylor.